Awesome.
All right, I just want to make sure. Do we have Matt Smith and Mike Colburn on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
This is Mike Colburn here.
All right, I think we're ready to get started. Let me go ahead and let me go ahead and mute the lines real quick, guys. Hold on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, so we should be able to hear Curtis, Matt, and Mike. You guys good?
Yeah,
I think so. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm like I was saying, I'm pretty excited about this call. I think it'll be a very helpful call, and I think it has such a huge impact in your closing ratio and what business you're writing and the confidence that you instill in your client, the size of your applications, the stick. I mean, it really affects everything, whether or not the policies stick. The topic is, you know, I put it on GroupMe. The topic is going to be transitioning from showing somebody their options to writing up an application. But as I talk through it more with Curtis and with Matt and with Mike, we kind of almost need to back up a little bit because the process really starts from the beginning. And so that's what we're going to talk about is how do we set the stage and then how do we make it so that it's not just comfortable, but it's just a smooth transition and really almost not even a transition at all. Because I think a lot of people do, they get awkward. I know I used to. When I first started, I'd go through the process. Everything was, and I know, Curtis, you probably remembered, 8 or 10 months ago when you were first getting started, you've had a ton of personal development, sales experience, you know, that really helped you out of the gate, put up some big numbers. But it still probably felt a little jerky, right? Going through the application.
Yes.
You know? Let's just talk about that process because, you know, what did it feel like from the very beginning as a brand new agent for you, getting to the point where you've, you know, I know for the first 2 weeks, I actually had the outline of the in-home presentation, and I'd go from step one, and okay, now I go to step two, now I go to step three, and everything I thought through each process, and I got really nervous, and I forgot where I was at, so I have to look down at my sheet, and the client didn't know what I was looking at, but I was looking at the outline. Okay, what's step four? Okay, explaining my role. And then I get to the application, and I was just like, okay, now how do I ask for the application? And what I realized was you don't have to ask for the application. If you're asking for it, then you're doing it wrong, right? So
yeah,
let's talk about that transition. Just from the beginning and now that you've been doing this for so long and you're, you know, I know at the last conference you were recognized as the number three agent in the whole company, and you know, you've never done this before. You've never done insurance before, in-home sales. But you've done sales before, just not in-home, need a kneecap. So what was it like from the beginning, and what has it become now, that whole transition process?
That's good. It's a loaded question. Brad, you set the table for me. If you remember, we were just talking about it right before the call. And I said, you know, this is kind of like driving a stick shift when you're 15 with one of your parents, right? And they're teaching you, they're talking you through the whole idea. And insurance is almost identical. It's like you're put in the clutch, right? Give it a little gas, slowly let off the clutch, put the gas down, put it in gear. Don't forget to put the gear in, right? Make sure you watch where you're going so we don't go off the cliff. There's all those things. It stresses you out a little bit. Gives you a little anxiety, and obviously now you look where you are now when you drive a stick shift car, and you know, you don't. It's seamless. You don't think about anything. It just all flows, and I guess that's how that feels. That's how insurance feels now. Although Brad, I didn't mention this, but last night I don't think I did a very good reason. I didn't feel I did a good job with one of my clients last night of creating a reason why. I don't know if you do that as well, Brad, when you readdress yourself, even in your, you know, 9, 10 months, I'm like, you know, I was tired and I was hurrying the appointment thinking, you know, you've got this all wired and you just can skip right through the why.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't do a good job of feeling that. I'm just thinking about that.
You're thinking about fifth gear, when you should be in first. Sometimes we just
exactly.
want to jump ahead to fifth gear.
You just want to go right through because it's all so seamless now. So when we're just talking to, you know, someone brand new, just getting started, yeah, it's really nice to talk to someone, you know, like yourself or Mike Coburn or Matt Smith or Nate or any of these guys that have been doing it. Find anyone that's done at least 25, 35, 45 appointments, and just, I'm telling you, you made me, if we're going to the first appointment, you walked me through the appointment. Yes, I had that skill set, I guess. I've always been fortunate and blessed to been able to be disarming with people. So, you know, when you first in the appointment, I really think that just building rapport or building a little camaraderie is great. I don't really know, and I apologize. I mean, this is a pretty broad brush topic. I'm sure we could turn the 30-minute call into 3 hours or 30 hours, right? But it's talking about just getting to the point of sale or filling it out. I have never since day one, Brad, said, okay, are you ready to fill out your application now? I have never done that. That would feel so awkward to me, guys. So I am already dripping. I'm dripping conversation of future tense of what is going to be happening in the next 45 minutes. So you're sitting down at the table. You're just going, Brad, walk me through this stuff. I was sitting out the, remember, Brad, I was at the bottom of the fill out in Sweet Home, Oregon. If you want to pull a map up and fill out the difference between Eugene and Sweet Home, Oregon, it's about an hour and 5 minute drive. So I'm sitting my first appointment, hour and 5 minutes. It's like it's pitch black at night because the appointment's at 7:30. It is, I've never done this before, and these people live out in the boondocks. I mean, nowhere. And, I mean, Oregon's kind of the boondocks, but this place was really pinned out nowhere. And Brad was with very poor service. I'm like, Brad, listen, what am I doing? Do you remember that? That was the conversation.
I do remember.
What am I doing? He's like, Curtis, listen, here's the deal. You're going to walk in. Just remember to bring those qual sheets and bring them out and just, you know, compliment something in their home, you know, talk to them about, you know, hey, what a lovely place, something. And then just pull out the qual sheets and start. That'll loosen you up. Just walk through their details, their personal information. And that was brilliant. So that's always – that just allows you to take control, really. Not that you're trying to control the conversation, but it certainly puts you in a position of comfort,
you want to be in control.
Right?
You don't want the client to be in control. They want you to be in control. They're looking for a professional, not an amateur.
They want you to leave.
They want you to leave. They don't want an amateur who's asking them permission for everything because then they don't have any confidence. They don't know anything about insurance. If you've got your insurance license, you know more than 99% of people out there about insurance. So they want you to consult with them and give them advice and say, here's what I would do. And I think having that posture is one of the most important things. There's something, Curtis, you were telling me that you do. It's so funny, but it really lightens the mood. When you're actually, you've gone through, you know, you explain the products, you've gotten their why out, you've gotten a need. They've told you they have a need, and here's their concern, why they feel like it's important. And now you're kind of going over their options, good, better, best. Here's this, here's that coverage, here's this, which one fits it? What's your process that you take all through that you just lighten it up and you make it fun? It's not awkward at all. It's actually kind of fun.
Right. Well, exactly. So we've gone through their details. We've gone through all the stuff. We've gone through their itinerary. And then it's like, listen, just to let you know, we're working with over 30 companies. I'm contracted with all these, so I'm on your team. I also say this. I say, listen, I'm not trying to shove a square block through a circle hole, you know? I mean, that would be if I was just with like a State Farm or a Farmers. Because then I have only so many options for you. Here I've got a litany of a tremendous plethora of options for you here, you know. We've got these incredible huge companies, Mutual of Omaha and Transamerica. Then we also have these boutique companies like American Amicable and United Home Life. And don't get me wrong, folks. These companies are awesome. They're not as big as a Transamerica or Mutual of Omaha, but They also, their customer service is amazing, and their prices are amazing because they're still building themselves up to being a Transamerica Mutual of Omaha. So they're really trying to, you know, not just compete, but put out the best rates possible. And that's what we're about to do today, is we're going to set you folks up so we can fit your budget. That's when I start dripping in. We're going to fit your budget. And listen, what I want to do is, you know, and now it's a little different, Brad, because now I've understood IULs, and I don't want to bring those up on the call because that'll just lose everyone. It took me 9 months for to figure those out. But at least you want to say and say, listen, we can start with, you know, we can get term insurance, guys. See, this is where it's dripping again. We've got term insurance, which is really inexpensive, and you can get it for 20, 25, 30 years. And I'll ask them, do you guys follow me, right? You understand what term insurance is? But, oh, well, yeah, but no. Well, term is just a certain amount of time, and I'll say, listen, it's really cheap. Or we can do B, which is we can get term insurance with return on premium, which means all those payments. Now, it's a little more expensive for term with return on premium, but you're going to get all these monies back at the end of 20, 25, 30 years. And I'm using my hands a lot. Like I'm putting it out there and I'm bringing the money back, you know? It's fantastic. Or I put my fist up in the air and I'll say, here's how that works. You've got your money in. Truly, this is what I do. I mean, I put a fist in the air. I'm like, here's your U.S. Bank, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, whatever. You're trying to relate to them. And all you're doing is shifting your money basically from this bank over to American Amicable Bank. Now, that's not a bank. It's an insurance company. But this is what you need to do to yourself, folks, you know, Joe, Sally, to you know, basically, you know, trick your brain. Because nobody wants to make a bunch of payments towards insurance. We all do it every month with our car and health and stuff like that. But if you're mitigating, it's very important to protect your home, obviously, right, guys? So you want to be able to mitigate that. And if you're doing it where you're not really doing anything but shifting money from one bank to another bank, quote-unquote, an insurance company, great. So what I want to do next, folks, is I really want to just go through some numbers with you and make sure it fits your budget, Joe and Sally. So what I like to do is it's kind of silly, but I said, basically what we're going to do today is pin the tail on the donkey. You guys remember that when you were a little birthday party. It's a happy time in their life. So it immediately puts almost a smile on their face, you know. And if it's not on their face, it's, you know, in their brain that's smiling, because who doesn't like pin down the donkey? You know, that was always a cool deal. So, you know, I say that, and that's just one of the things I do. And then it's really seamless in transition. And then we just go right in, and I start going, listen, okay, so next. And then we'll find the number, and I'll say, listen, does that number work? Does that number work? Do you want me to up, higher, lower? I mean, I'm talking to them the entire time. So there's never any discomfort about the money, because that's always been it's a thing where you just want to touch your elbows in close, and it's uncomfortable and awkward, and you don't want it. You want it to be seamless and smooth. So you just listen, does this fit your budget? Does this fit your budget? If you're on your phone going through the numbers, I mean, a lot of people like to prep the numbers before. I've always liked to do it. If I can get a signal on my phone or a Wi-Fi, it's much better, I think, to just say, does this number work? Does this number work? As long as you're pretty fast in your phone. That's why I love that app they put together. It's brilliant, you know, with AT&T.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I personally like to sit down with the client and make adjustments on the fly, so they feel like they're kind of a part of customizing it and tailor fitting it. And so once they pin the tail on the donkey and they point, okay, this one fits the budget, there's no question, okay, are you ready to fill out an application? Do you want to go? If they've already pinned it. Right, it's done. They pinned the tail.
It's done. It's done. Right. Listen, guys, here's what I'm saying. And not about you, Brad. This is what I said. I can't wait to hear with Mike, because Mike's going to be different. Mike's so much more well put together. It's great. But I just say, listen, I know you guys probably don't want an insurance guy hanging in your house all night. So I want to just really put this together quick. I just want to get some really, I've got your address. I've got that stuff. I can do all of that stuff on my own time. That's my job. But what I want to do is get your, you know, I need to get your SOCH. I need to get I need to get your driver's license number, your, you know, a couple more details here. I need a couple signatures, and I need to get a voided check from you. Just put void across the middle of the check. I don't miss a beat, guys. It's just boom. It's just part of the process.
So you're not saying can you go get a voided check, or do you
no.
mind giving me?
Never.
You're saying,
no.
I need one. I need a voided check. We're going to need a voided check.
It's just nice and easy. This is what we're doing. We're going to do this. I need a couple signatures. You guys, all right, you with me, right? Okay, great. That's it. Done.
Yeah. I want to bring Mike and Matt, if you want to jump in here too. But, Mike, you I've watched you in the home on a few cases. And, in fact, I think I may have actually watched. Yeah, you – this is funny. I haven't thought about this in a long time, but you've been in insurance for years. I think like what, almost five years now. And I got a policy. Yeah, I got a policy from you back when you were with Northwestern Mutual. So I watched you, and I remember observing how confident you were. It was like you weren't asking permission. You were just, and I felt personally as a customer side of it on the other side of the table with you. I felt, okay, Mike really knows what he's doing. I have a lot of confidence in him. I trust what he's advising me on because he's not asking permission on anything. It was like a subconscious type of feeling that I just felt like I was in good hands. Tell us about the confidence side of things and how does that play a factor in taking an application?
Well, I think we have to remember, you know, the setting up the stage. You know, when you begin the entire meeting, you know, the meeting's been scheduled, first of all, over the telephone to come out and show options, and options wouldn't be shown unless they would be purchased. So, I mean, you got to understand that the client understands that this is something that they are ultimately either going to say yes or no to, one of the two. And in the very beginning of the meeting, when we talk about, you know, hey, I've done this long enough to know that inevitably someone's going to say something like, I got to sleep on it, or I need to think about it, or any of those things. If you go through that verbiage, you ultimately get their permission in the very beginning to do any of it. Your permission is obtained at that point. You no longer have to ask for permission to do anything at all. You're the expert. You're the advisor. You know how to handle this stuff. You know the companies. You understand the process. So the minute you start wavering, it's almost like a double-edged sword. I mean, you're killing yourself quicker because you're now going back on the fact that they have already given you permission to advise them on the topic. And so for me, I don't ask permission for anything anymore moving forward. You know, is it all right for me to just be candid with you as we go through this process? And so as long as you get their permission at the very, very beginning, you no longer have to ask for permission for anything at all. And so when, you know, in our experience, Brad, when we chatted years ago, you had given me that permission. It was now I'm telling you what needs to be done, and I'm going to tell you whether or not you want to hear it or not, it's what you need to hear.
And that's all based on the questions you asked me in advance, like what's the main concern, what's the need, you know, what are you looking for, why is that important to you? And now that I've told you all these things, now I've basically handed over control, which is what I want to do. I want to hand over control to somebody who knows what they're doing more than I do. I don't know anything about insurance. Most people don't.
Yeah, there's a book written by Nick Murray called Behavioral Investment Counseling. And one of the things that he points out in that book is that when you sit down with a client as an advisor, and I know that we advise on insurance, okay, a lot of people aren't licensed in securities, but we advise on insurance. You are the advisor in mortgage protection. When you sit down and talk with a client, you do not need to convince them that what you are going to tell them is the best thing. You know it is. You are not obligated to convince them that it is. And so with that attitude, it's a different approach. With that attitude, it's not that you're cocky and that you're self-absorbed and that you are going to bulldoze over them. You don't have to convince them. You're the expert. So as long as they've given you permission to talk, it is then your right to tell them candidly, this is what you need to do and this is how it works.
So, Mike, you're a golfer. Right, you used to actually compete.
Yeah,
very, very good golfer. It makes me mad sometimes golfing with you because I'm horrible. And I mean, you're just a great golfer. You've been doing it for years. And I know Casey has an analogy that sometimes he'll use that relates to this business. I'd love for you to kind of tie that analogy to this business and how it applies to being in the home. Because I think sometimes having pictures or something you can relate it to really helps to understand concepts.
Yeah, so those of you that are golfers, we all know that there's two inevitable issues with golfing. You're either going to hook it or you're going to slice the ball. I mean, if we could all hit the ball straight, we'd all be out there making a living. So we either are working on one or the other, and a lot of times people try to adjust how they hit the ball. They mess with, you know, silly little brain games. If I can focus on this part of the ball or do this or do that or think this thought or whatever it is in order to get the ball where they want to go. Well, fundamentally, there are two fundamental things in golf that if you hone in on them and you perfect them, it doesn't really matter how you swing, period. It's just fundamentals. It's geometry. And those two things are stance and grip. How do you stand, how you approach the ball when you're hitting it, and then how do you grip the club, the tool that you're using to achieve what you're trying to achieve, to hit the ball straight. And I think, you know, if we keep those two things in mind and correlate them to what we do, how do we approach our meetings? How do we approach this whole process? How do we deal with, you know, are we worried about what we say, how we, you know, all the little inner workings of it? Those are important, but they aren't fundamental. It's how do we approach it. And then secondly, the grip that we take, and I'll let you, you know, kind of hone in on that a little bit more as it relates to it, because I know you were specifically talking about grip and how you felt that it connected. I'll let you kind of take over on that.
Well, for me, it's a confidence thing. You know, your stance, when you're approaching the ball and you're standing, whether, you know, you're bent over too far or standing up or your shoulders, I know your shoulders need to be back. You've coached me in golf. And, you know, your shoulder needs to be this way, and it all relates to stance. So having the right stance in the home, to me, is posture. What's your posture like? Are you weak in the home? Do you appear to be weak? Or do you appear to, you know, have good, strong posture? And then grip is more of a confidence. And sometimes we squeeze the club too hard. Right, we need to lighten it up a little bit. Let up. I think that's what Curtis is so good at. Is he's not so, you know, so professional that he's now unrelatable, and you know he takes more of a laid back approach, but he's still very confident. He doesn't ask permission. It's the confidence in your posture that I think, you know, you establish that. You're establishing trust. And you did a call a few weeks ago on this nuts and bolts call that I wasn't able to be on because I think I was on a plane or something, but I wasn't able to be on. I heard some great things about it. And you talked about, you know, not just building trust or you know, being likable, because somebody could like you as a person, but if they don't have any confidence in what you're doing as a professional, you're kind of missing the point. So you have to build that trust as a professional. And the easiest way to do that is not with the words that you use, it's with the confidence when you say something. So what are some things that you do throughout the presentation to set yourself up as the professional that can be trusted and whatever you're saying is fact?
Well, so I think it's just it's something that you have to weave through the entire conversation. You know, closing isn't something that you end up eventually getting to and then you close the deal. That's salesy. Like it kind of turns me off. It's repulsive to me. I don't like it when people do it to me. They hook me and then all of a sudden they sell me on it. To me, the right approach, when you advise someone, you're instilling the close in them with little phrases as you go about. You know, things like when I talk about insurance, I use the term fickle. Like, insurance is very fickle. You can qualify it for it. You may not. Sometimes people want it, but they can't get it. There's a process. And so just saying little things like that, they know that when I get to the end and I start talking to them about the process of how do we apply, I've already told them at the beginning that
if this is the right fit, there's a process. And sometimes, and we have clients that they want it very badly, they can't get it. And so there is a process to helping you walk through those hoops. And I'll make it, you know, I'll reiterate something that when you and Curtis were talking earlier, you know, don't ever, I mean, please quit asking for permission to get banking information. The most awkward time in a meeting is when, and we've all done it, I've been there before, it was, I remember it on a few cases, how awkward it was, and I made it awkward. I mean, let's face the facts. If you have a need, they trust you already, and now you come to the decision of getting information about their banking information, you have to be a little bit ignorant to not realize that this product has to be funded. This isn't free. So mature people will look up and say, well, what do I have to give you? Oh, you need my banking information. Okay. So as long as you approach it without stuttering and without concern and you're not, like, freaked out, you don't have, like, nervous palms because, oh, no, you're getting their banking information. And I've seen this happen with Social Security numbers. They get all nervous about asking about Social Security numbers. Well, you're going to already create fear in them or an unsettling feeling if you act awkward during those conversations. It's,
you know,
just a part of the process.
And that's the difference between an amateur and a professional. If you act awkward and you act like this is something that they may not want to do, then they start thinking, is this something I may not want to do? You've just now created doubt in their mind by doing that. Something that I'll say, just to make it seamless, is when I've got, like, a husband and wife filling out the application, I've got Jim in the middle, I'm asking him health questions, I might right in the middle of it say, hey, Diane, while I'm doing this with Jim, I'm going to need a voided check. Do you mind getting that? Can you run and get me a voided check? Or, you know, I'm going to need this, I'm going to need that. I use that verbiage a lot. I'm going to need this. We're going to need to do this. And just having that confidence.
Yeah, and what I love about that is that you're asking them to do you a favor. You know, it's like they're fighting for you. And then we forget oftentimes that people aren't buying the piece of paper that they're signing. They're buying you. That's what they're buying. And so they're willing to do things for us because we're confident, trustworthy, we know what we're doing. We've got the expertise. We've got the product. That's just one piece of the pie. And now they're going to do things, you know, just instead of asking, hey, is it all right if you get me a voided check? That's the worst thing you can ever say.
So I
love what you said.
Yeah. We all have a
Mike, can I? Yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis.
That was, I just want to say, see, that's why I got on the call, because I love listening to Mike, because he's got so much experience. It's laughing hysterically, because you can feel a new person, a new agent going out and saying that. You just cringe just to listen to that. Like, do you mind going and getting a voided check, please?
I did it.
No. Here's what I need. I just need to grab a few signatures, right? I just need to get a few signatures here. Just need to get a little data. I need your SOCH. I need your driver's license number here. I need to get a voided check. Just write void across the middle. Please don't hit the numbers in the bottom. I've had that happen one time. Maybe drive 2 hours back. You know.
Yeah, I think exactly your attitude is exactly what conveys, like, this is normal. That's what we, you know, if you just don't, you've got a process. I need this, 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 and this, and you're lighthearted about it. You know, you make them feel comfortable. This is not abnormal. This is very normal. It's like we're not instilling. We have these fight or flight responses that we give. It's the reason why, like, when we phone people, their gut reaction when they pick up the phone and they don't know the other person is, how quickly can I get them off the phone? That's my gut reaction. In anything, as we interact with people, it's making sure that we don't hit that fight or flight reaction. And if we're uncomfortable, and we act that way, we're going to then trigger that, and people are going to go, well, yeah, I care about giving you my stuff. I don't know that I want to do this. I don't know that I trust you.
So
right, exactly. And Brad, I want to just interject with, he made a great point. I want to transgress towards or progress towards a Mike approach or a Brad approach or a Matt approach, a more experienced. Just for the new person, just, you know, like you said, the lighthearted, it's easier to be able to make a living. Hey, I've got to make a living. I've got two young children I've got to feed. And to do that, I need to make sure that I'm giving these people the product they wanted, they need, they asked for. But I also have to know what my skill set is, what is my ability. I don't have the capacity and the knowledge that Mike Coburn does or Matt Smith or Brad Smith. You guys have done this so many hundreds and hundreds of times. So what you just said, Mike, was perfect in the fact that if they can just assume or just lead comfortably and disarming and don't ask, just say, this is what I need to grab, but just comfortably, I think we're going to have a lot more success with, again, I think this call has been for the more the newer agent. And I think it will help them get those sales and not have them, the other client saying, you know, thanks, but no thanks, you know, as there's an awkward moment that, as you know, Mike, and you know, Brad, it's just that one awkward thing said, one word said, unfortunately, can shut a deal down pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah, and
it's not
and
an awkward word necessarily as much as how you say it, again.
Yes, the tonality, yes, correct.
Yeah, and what I'll add to that, I think that that's perfect. And what I'll add is I would encourage, we oftentimes don't contemplate after a meeting, would I have bought for myself? Like thinking through the meeting, going, man, I said this, I said that, that was awkward. Why did I say that? And just thinking through, like, okay, if I was selling to myself and sitting across the table with my own family, would I have made this transaction? And if not, what about it do I need to get better at? And if you really want to get vulnerable and good, and people are scared early on to do this, at the very end of the meeting, ask your client, hey, I'm always trying to get better. Do you have any feedback? Like, how can I make this process even better for you as my client?
That's beautiful.
Help you just truly dig in. And I've had some very candid responses that I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that's the way it came across. You know?
I'm afraid, actually. Exactly. That's a good point.
So I want to bring Matt on. Matt, you and I and Mike were talking a little bit earlier, and you've got some things that I think, at least in the beginning, new agents would be very scared to say. But you've had enough policies cancel that nobody likes to write an app that they walk out and, you know, the taller the mountain, the deeper the valleys. And if you have this big sale and all of a sudden it cancels, you go into a depression. What do you do when you're going for the writing up the application, you're getting a voided check, you're figuring out the dollar amounts and what works, pinning the tail on a donkey. What do you do to avoid getting an app? You know, sometimes you can sense that, is this really a solid sale? Are they just doing this because I'm leading them through it and they feel like they need to go through it, but at the end of the day, they're going to call me back and cancel it? You know, you can kind of, at least after a few appointments, you can kind of start to sense that. You don't move forward. What do you do? I mean, you just had a client recently with this.
Yeah, for me, we're talking about the whole transition. You know, how do you transition from, you know, showing them options to getting an application? And it all starts with setting the right expectations up front with the client on what to expect this appointment to look like. What are we accomplishing, and what are we going to walk away with? And before I go over options, because the biggest objection you're going to get is, I want to think about it. you get that objection right after you go through the options with people. And so when you do this enough and you start to see this common denominator, like I want to think about it over and over and over. How can I avoid this from coming up? And you realize you got to cover that objection before you go over the options. So by the time you get to the end, they're not going to say it. So I set the expectations before I do that. Here's what I'm going to do. I've already gone through 40 different companies. I've narrowed down which options are going to be, you know, what companies you're going to qualify for, who's going to give you the best coverage for the best price. I put a few of these options together. I'm going to go over these right now. You let me know whether they fit in the budget, you know, which one fits in the budget, which ones don't. Once we nail down which one fits, we're going to go ahead and get an application filled out and make sure it's something that you qualify for. Does that make sense? And they're going to shake their head, yes, that makes sense. Now they've just committed to filling out an application. So when I get to the end, I'm going to start going through that. Now, with this particular client that I met with, it was Monday this week, and they didn't have a lot of money. I mean, you could tell that they were not, you know, wealthy people, and he was the only breadwinner in the home. And I asked him up front, you know, what would things look like? And I asked her. I didn't ask him. I asked her. What would you do if something happened? His name is Cleo. What would you have to do if something happened to Cleo? Could you afford the home? Would it be really financially difficult for you? Or would it be like a situation where you just lose the home? She said, I'd lose the home. There's no way I could afford all the bills, the house. There's no way. I'd lose it. Okay, so what would you do? You know, a lot of people end it right there. I dig in. What would you do? What would things look like? I have no idea what I would do. Okay, so you'd probably foreclose in the house. You'd lose the house. Where would you move to? And she's just, like, looking at him, looking at me. Like, I've never thought about this before. I have no idea. And so at that point, it just kind of clicked. We've got to have something. This is really – I really would be in a tough spot. So we established the need. Then I go over options. And the first option was $107 a month. There was no way that fit in the budget. We got down to $70 a month. That didn't fit in the budget. We got down to $55 a month. That was enough for 1 year of mortgage payments, which is going to give her at least a year to put the house for sale, get it sold, get the equity out, and move on with her life, and hopefully have $50,000, $60,000 of equity that she can live on. Well, you could tell he was just staring down at the table the whole time. And he was just kind of hem-hawing, even at $55 a month. And I explained the process. I said, we're going to get an application filled out. We're going to get you approved. If you guys talk about it after I leave and you say, you know, $55 doesn't fit, we can adjust this number once you're approved. And he said, okay, well, I guess we can go ahead and get the application filled out. And I said, well, hold on. No, we're not just going to fill an application out. We're not going to fill an application unless this makes sense for you guys. I'm not going to walk away. You know, the last thing we want to do is fill an application, have you guys approve, pay the policy for 6 months, and then you cancel it. It doesn't do anybody any good. So I would rather lower it to something that we know you can afford rather than questionable. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And then it turned from me showing them what they can do to him selling me on why he could afford $55 a month. And he started telling me, he said, no, this is important. We've got to have this. It's going to be a lot easier for us to afford $55 a month on what my income would be working than her to try to afford the whole thing on no income at all. We're going to make this work no matter what. Even if we have to cut some things out, we will figure out. We will come up with $55 a month, and I will not be canceled in 6 months. And I said, are you sure? Because we can lower it. We can lower this. He said, no, I want $55 a month. Okay. I'll go ahead and go with $55 a month. That's a solid sale. But when he was hem-hawing and he was thinking about it, that was my opportunity to say, whoa, 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 we're not just going to fill out an application. And then the tables turned.
You actually took it off the table. So, I love how you did that, because now he's trying to convince you. And he's trying to do – I mean, you're saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to move forward with an application if this is what's going to happen. I want to do this. I want to do that. And now he's saying, okay, I guess I've got to do what he wants.
This is part of loosening the grip. You know, some people, they're in desperation mode, and they've got what we call commission breath. And they're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about how can I get the most out of this client rather than how can I do the best thing for this client. And when you focus on what is best for the client and how can I make sure they're going to get protection that they're going to keep and this is actually going to help them, rather than how can I make the most amount of money, you're loosening your grip and you're actually going to get a lot more sales that are going to stick. And that's what's important. But, Brad, you were telling me about a client that you just had that I really like because, you know, a lot of times you walk into a home and the client says right off the bat, well, I'm just so you know, I'm not filling application today. I just want to get some prices. I'm just shopping around. And a lot of agents are just like, oh, what do I do? Now how am I going to get the application if you clearly just said I'm not filling an application? And you were telling me about an appointment you had this week. The guy said that, and literally it took you 15 minutes before he was filling out an application.
Oh, yeah. I was in and out in 15 minutes. And it was actually yesterday, 39 years old. The loan amount was only $58,000, and he works at Walmart on night shift. He doesn't have much money. So I meet with him, and he says, I've only got about 10 or 15 minutes. You think we can do this in 10 or 15 minutes? And I said, well, I can do my side in 10 or 15 minutes. If you have questions and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be up to you. But I said, I wanted to verify the information real quickly, run through. I didn't even build a whole lot of rapport because I understand that it's more important to establish myself as a professional so he trusts me as a professional than just to become a friend. I want to become a friend, but I really want to establish the fact that I'm a professional so he trusts my advice. So I said, when he was wanted to shop around, I said, well, who are you shopping around with? Who are you comparing? What's your process of shopping around? Well, you're the first person I've talked to. Well, who else are you going to go to? Oh, I don't know. I filled out a couple of these forms, and I said, okay, let me explain what I do. I'm a field underwriter, but I'm more or less a broker, and I work with about 40 companies, 40 different insurance companies. The reason my clients love working with me is because I do the shop around for them. Most people who don't know anything about insurance don't want to spend hours and hours or days calling different insurance companies and trying to compare policies. They don't even know anything about them. So what my clients appreciate is that I do the shopping. I work with companies like Mutual of Omaha and Transamerica and American Amicable and United Home Life, and I take a client's information, your health, your age, what loan amount you have, what kind of term. Do you want a policy that, you know, do you want the cheapest thing you can get, a term policy for 20 years, and you pay into it for 20 years? And yes, it may be cheap, but they're also the most costly because you just gave the insurance company a bunch of money for 20 years and got nothing for it. Or are you the type of person that likes the idea of getting all that money back or possibly even growing money? And if you do pass away, you get the house paid for, but if you don't, you haven't lost anything. Those cost a little bit more. Or do you like the idea of having living benefits? So if you have a heart attack, cancer, stroke, so I'm just having this conversation with them and saying, so what I do is take what you're interested in and I narrow it down to the best options. So he said, okay, so tell me more about that option that I can get my money back or grow money. So I said, well, let me run an illustration real quick. So I pulled up my iPad. I'm in the back of his truck. We're outside. We're at a rental house. This $58,000 house is actually a rental house, and there's no furniture. There's nothing in the house. He just bought it. So we're on the back of his pickup truck, on the bed of the pickup truck, and I've got my iPad, and we're going over some different options, and I said, let me explain the process here. And I obviously have to establish the why. So after I kind of let him know there's lots of options, I do the shopping around for him. That's why people use me. So now he's kind of starting to get sold on me. Because, again, like what Mike said, it's not selling a product, it's selling yourself. So I've established myself as a professional and as a broker. And I said, okay, so why did you even fill this out? I mean, you want to shop around, but it doesn't sound like it's really that much of a concern to you. And he said, well, you know, I think it's always good to have insurance. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I'm single. And I said, well, then why even do anything like this? That's loosening the grip. Why would you even do anything like this? Why would it be important? Who's going to benefit from this? Well, I've got two nephews. I'd love for them to be able to get the houses if something did happen to me, and maybe my mom. Okay, so you're telling me that if something were to happen to you, that you would like for them to get the house instead of the bank? And he said, yeah. Okay, how important is it for you to have that? Well, I think it'd be a good idea. I don't think I'm going to die anytime soon. And I said, well, then if it were me, if I were you, I'm 39 years old, and it fits in the budget, I would go with an option that you got the protection if you need it. If you don't, you're getting all your money back. So we looked at a few options, and he said, what if we double the coverage? How about if we triple the coverage? And so we wrote an app. It was a $247 a month policy because he liked the idea of having a permanent policy that never expires. But it all came back down to he trusted my opinion, my advice, because I said it with authority. And it's not that I was explaining product. I wasn't going over product details. I was just talking to him about what's important to him and why clients like working with me versus other agents. That was really the I think what brought him to the point that I want to apply for some coverage. This guy knows what he's doing. So, I don't know. Yeah, so, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys have similar stories.
How much coverage did you say you got? What was his monthly premium, you said?
$247 a month.
So you got there. When you first got there, he said, I'm not filling out any applications. I'm shopping around. Within 15 minutes, you're filling an application for almost $250 a month.
Yeah, I was done.
So a lot of times when a client says that kind of stuff, it's a knee-jerk reaction. And you almost have to just completely ignore it. Just completely ignore the objection. Because
yeah.
Obviously in this situation, and pretty much 99% of the time, it's just a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, he was expecting to be sold. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sitting here, listening to all this, and I think that it's all about our normal. You know, I'm thinking through all the other times that we buy things. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you pick out all your stuff and you go up to the cashier, when she says, so are you going to do credit or debit? You don't go, why do you need my card? Like, you're not questioning,
right.
Like, well, what are you going to do with it? Like, really?
That's exactly how I ask for the banking. I'll ask them. When I get down to that section, I'll say, what did you guys want to go with? The checking? You want to pay with checking or savings? And they say
it's
checking.
Just,
okay,
it's
great.
Part of the process.
Linda, if you don't mind while we fill the rest of this out, go ahead and grab a voided check for us. And then I'm going to go through and continue to get signatures with John. And you don't miss the beat.
It's all about normal. And when people throw abnormal comments at you, deflect them. I mean, don't even respond to them. That's the knee-jerk reaction. This is what we have to do.
Hey, Brad, Matt, Mike. I just created a Mike, Matt and Mike name. It's a new name. It's Mike. Keep it lighthearted, right? I was told something, and you guys both triggered something, and I listened to that. It was perfect. And this might help, because it helped me when I was, this is 1992, I heard this, and it made so much sense. They said that, you know, and it was a story, and it was, listen, if you're a guy or a lady, it seems like, whatever, going into a mall, you're going in alone, and you're going to buy some incredible pair of shoes or an incredible jacket or whatever. You're going into that, you know, your mall in your town, and just picture that nice store that you like, your Bon, your Marche, your Saks Fifth Avenue, whatever it is for you that's nice. And you go in to buy that item, or you're looking in the store. You're not in your mind, you're not thinking, I'm going to buy this. You're going in there and you're just perusing and checking, but you see something that just, you got to have it. But your brain says, you know, I can't do that, or no. And they say there was some scientific study or survey, whatever, something like 6 or 7 times in your brain. So, you know, we have 60,000 thoughts every day, right? And unfortunately, it's like 50% of those are 90% or some crazy percentage of the same thoughts as we had as the day before. That's another thing I've heard before.
saying no 6 or 7 times, but finally you just decide, I've got to have it, and we justify and we get that product. That is the same thing as they said to us, that whatever, 23 years ago, it's the same thing when you're sitting down with a client. It's just overcoming, I think, a lot of the triggers or thoughts in their brain. They're just saying no, 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 no. But they wanted that product. They all filled out that form. They all mailed it in. Brad shared that with me when I first talked to him the first time on the phone, and it's what got me involved with insurance in this company. I thought, the onus is on this person. They filled out this form and they mailed it out. All I'm doing is I'm meeting with them, and that's kind of my tone. That's my posture. I've listened to Mike, and I picked up stuff just from this call and from Brad every time I listen, and that's got to be your posture when you're sitting down with them. They filled out the form. They want that product. Yes, they're going to bring up those things, objection. All you need to do is be confident, stay even keel, ask for the information, go through it, be seamless, and go through all those no's, because it's just going to take a little bit of time before they finally say, sounds great, let's move forward. This fits the budget. Perfect. You guys saw?
Yep. Yeah, I love it. Love the analogy, too. I don't know if there's anything else that anyone wants to add. I think it's a great way to end the call. Matt, do you want to add anything, Mike?
No, I think it's great.
Awesome. Well, hopefully this helps. It's just like anything. Sometimes it takes mental, you have to think about it to do this. So when you walk into a home, remind yourself, I would listen to this call. I'm going to post it on GroupMe. But I think we just need to be reminded until it becomes second nature, until it becomes from driving a stick shift and manually thinking about shifting from first to second to third to driving an automatic where it does it on its own. And I know for the four of us, we've all done this enough times now that we don't think about this stuff. This is just the way we do it. It's just second nature. So just practice it until it becomes second nature for you. And every sale is going to be so much easier when you can get to that point. So thanks, guys, and have a great weekend.